Thanks so much, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you today. Welcome to the First Colony Church of Christ. And Merry Christmas to you from Martha and me to all of you. Merry Christmas. And I hope that this is just a wonderful time of the year for you. And that this Christmas season especially is a very encouraging time and reaffirming time to you in your faith. Remember this Saturday night. This coming Saturday night is Christmas Eve, right here, 5 o'clock for our Christmas Eve service. And then 1 week from today, Christmas Day, at 10 o'clock service. I'll be here. Hope to see you here. This morning, though, I want to conclude our Christmas message series that we've been calling ID Check with a message today called Follow Me. And we started a couple of weeks ago looking at the statement of Jesus when he asked his followers, he said, you know, what's the scuttlebutt? What are people saying about me? Who do people say that I am? And last couple of weeks ago, we talked about that. Various perspectives on Jesus. And then we asked, but who do you say I am? That's what Jesus asked. He said, regardless of what everybody else says, what's your take? Where do you stand? And last week, we walked through that majestic passage of Christology in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 1, that presents Jesus in all of his wonder and glory and just says, here he is, and you make a decision. But Jesus doesn't ask us who we think he is just for curiosity's sake. He's inviting us to follow. And specifically, what I'd like for us to do this morning is I want us to take a look at an obstacle to following Jesus that is quite prevalent. It is something that's really easy to drift into. It's the kind of thing that gets overlooked, but it's very prevalent, and it can complicate and it can obstruct your followership significantly. And I want us to hit this head on. Let me put a photo up here on the screen. It's an apple and an orange. You'll sometimes hear people talking about, well, we're comparing apples and oranges. What they mean is you're comparing something that's really, it's not an adequate comparison because you're not equipped to compare it. There are factors going on you're not aware of, and you're just not qualified to do that comparison. But here's what we do in our life. How many people do you know and their followership of Jesus has gotten complicated because here's what they do. They say, God, I think you treat so-and-so better than you treat me. Or God, why is it that certain people get preferential treatment over me? I want his job description. I want her job description. I want his role in life. I want her role in life. I'm an apple, I want to be an orange. I'm an orange, I want to be an... And if we're not careful, this can really complicate and obstruct our following of Jesus. And so today we're going to walk through a story that I think is very apropos for us this time of the year and in our season of life. Okay? You ready? Here we go. We're out of John chapter 21, and I'll just start reading. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? In other words, do you love me more than these other people love me? Because if you remember, one time Peter told Jesus, not far from this encounter, he said, everybody else may fall away. Everybody else may lose it. Everybody else may walk away, but not me. I'm the one person you can depend on. And, of course, Peter and all of his pride, and, you know, he's bragging about that. Well, of course, he's the guy who does what? I mean, he folds under pressure. And now Jesus says, Peter, you still say that you love me more than all these? And there's no bragging now in Peter. He just says, Lord, you know I love you. Then Jesus says, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, and he says, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, for the third time, a version of this, he says, feed my sheep. What we're going to do this morning, we're going to take a look at some piercing questions and some definitive answers from Jesus. And here's piercing question number one. Do you love me, Peter? And what he's doing here, this is a beautiful thing, actually. He's restoring Peter. He's forgiving Peter. He's letting Peter know that even though, Peter, you had a time of failure, I can use you again. And Jesus is taking him through the process of restoration. I want everybody's attention here for a moment. I want to say something to you as clearly as I know how. Don't you waste another day of your life fretting over something you cannot undo. Let God give you a new and a fresh beginning. Our God is the champion at bringing people back from a place of failure to a place of grand usefulness. And you can become a trophy of God's goodness and grace. And your renewed life is set on display, not about your goodness, but about God's goodness. And what happened in your past does not have to define you. What happened in Peter's past did not have to define him. And your past cannot control your future. Listen, unless you let it. If you're not willing to forgive him, well, you're chained. If you're not willing to forgive, if you're not willing to let God give you a new, and you're chained to your past. But as for God, his mercies are new every morning. And what does he do? He comes right here to Peter and he says, Peter, we have an opportunity for something fresh and new. So, piercing question number one is, Peter, do you love me? And his definitive answer is, feed my sheep. You love me, you love my people. It's a package deal. You love the shepherd, you love the sheep. And that means if you are a Christian, part of your assignment in life is not to run away just to the meadows and to the silos and to the monasteries, but to actually be involved in the rocky terrain of life with other believers who are woefully imperfect. But as you love the shepherd, you love the sheep. It's a package deal, all right? All right, now, let's move on, really, to the heart of what I want to camp out in this morning. Verse 18. Very truly, I tell you. So after this, here Jesus talking again to Peter. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you're going to stretch out your hands. Now, when Jesus says you're going to stretch out your hands, they know exactly what that's all about. They have just watched Jesus stretch out his hands and be crucified. You're going to stretch out your hands. Someone else is going to dress you. They're going to lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this, verse 19, to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. The title of the message this morning, follow me. And Peter turned, and he saw the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's John. And this was the one who had leaned back against the Lord at the Last Supper and said, Lord, who's going to betray you? And when Peter saw him, he said, Lord, what about him? Did you ever see the movie called What About Bob? What about Bob? What about John? What about Mary? Peter has just heard a very difficult word from Jesus. Peter, I love you. I'm going to use you, but here's something you need to know. Your last chapter in life is not going to be glorious. It's going to be downhill. Somebody's going to take you where you don't want to go. It's going to be less comfortable, less noble. There's no fanfare. It is not going to be pretty. Peter doesn't argue with that. He simply says, but what about Kim? What about Kent? I mean, all I want to know is who gets the cushy assignment? And if it's not me, why? Why not? And if I have to suffer, will he suffer? If my ministry is going to end up like that, will his ministry end up like that? If that's what happens to me, is that, will that happen to her as well? I mean, what about Bob? And Peter is asking not out of curiosity, but out of comparison. Listen carefully. Jesus did not answer Peter's question. He left a huge question mark there. And I want to say something to you as compassionately as I know how. If you demand that God answers all your questions and remove all of your question marks, you can't follow him. Because those question marks at times in your life are going to be opportunities for you to grow in your faith and in trusting the goodness and the glory of God. Well, what about him? Jesus doesn't answer. Here's what he says, verse 22. If I want him to remain alive until I return. Now, in a way, you could almost read this and think that Jesus is mocking Peter. Peter, if I decide that I want to turn John into Superman, and he's never going to get sick, he's going to stay alive till the day I return, what is that to you? You follow me. If I decide to give John all the benefits you want and give you none of the benefits you would like to have, what's that to you? Peter, you run your race. You tell your story. You follow me. Piercing question number two, what's that to you? And the implied answer is, Peter, John's life is none of your business from the standpoint of controlling what goes on. And actually, that's a very compassionate thing from Jesus. It frees me and it frees you from this depressing game of comparing. And the definitive answer, number two, piercing question number two, what's that to you? The definitive answer, Ronnie, you follow me. Regardless of the cost, regardless of what may happen to anyone else, you follow me. I've got a question for you. Do you have a John in your life? Is there somebody in your life where you keep saying to God, God, I want her life. I want his job description. I want their assignment. Why can't I be on that path instead of this path? Gang, all of us have to realize that you do not have anybody else's life. And you are never going to have anybody else's life. You better start loving and you better start living the one life you have. Embrace the life you have and stop wishing you could be somebody else. Stop all of that. Start saying, God, here I am. This is my name. This is who I am. This is where you have me. And God, you got all of me. And like Mary said in the Christmas story, I am your servant. Do to me as you will. My friends, nobody has a perfect life, and it's entirely possible that you may want somebody else's life, maybe as that person is wanting another person's life, maybe even yours. Now, let's get real practical. Because everybody in this room has to choose a master. I want to challenge you in a fresh way to re-up, sign up again for fresh followership of Jesus. What does that look like in a tangible sense? Here are some steps we can take in that direction. Number one, serve his sheep as a strategic priority in your life. I believe that Jesus Christ is ruler over all creation. I believe he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every square inch he stands over it and says, this is mine, and I'm privileged to serve him, and you are too. So how do I do that? How do I serve this invisible God? Answer, you serve his sheep. I got a homework assignment for you this week. At some point this week, I want you to let this phrase flow through your mind, maybe right now. What would Jesus see if he were looking at what I'm looking at right now. You know, I'm a lifer. I grew up going to church. Now, my dad became a Christian like when he was in his 30s. My mom became a Christian kind of late teens. But I grew up going to church. I know all the VBS songs. I do. I actually know a lot of hymnal songs. I mean, by heart. I can finish them. And that's, you know, I'm a churchified kid, all right? I love Jesus, but I'm churchified too. I know a lot of these songs and habits, and it's great. You remember the little song? I never liked this song when I was a kid. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And there's a grown-up version of that song. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Some of you, you ever heard that song? Hello. There's an all-seeing eye. I mean, that's an encouraging song, isn't it? There's an all-seeing eye watching you. And it was done with this, almost with the attitude of, yikes, oh man, you know, he is just looking to pounce. Let's go back to the words of that song. That's not the intent at all. Our Father is looking down in love. See what Jesus would see. Value what Jesus would value. Go where Jesus would go. Not just following in his steps, but get this, following in his stops as well. What would Jesus stop to do? Let me say it as clearly as I know how. You want to love Jesus, love his people. Be Jesus to the person right in front of you. Encourage everybody you meet with a smile or a word of encouragement. Be the kind of person where you refresh their spirits. Make them glad to be in your presence. Because the light of Jesus shines within you. Love me, love my people, says Jesus. It's a package deal. Secondly, stop asking, what about Bob? Run your race. Tell your story. And if another believer has more talent, what is that to you? You follow Jesus. And if another's circumstances are different or better, what is that to you? Follow Jesus. And if another believer has more resources, what is that to you? You follow Jesus. And if another believer has more opportunities to serve, then what is that to you? You follow Jesus. And if somebody else got a head start, what is that to you? You follow Jesus. Jesus gives you freedom to run his race. I want to tell you a sports story. Back in 1968, I'm 10 years old. I'm following the Summer Olympics in Mexico City. Anybody here familiar with the name Jim Ryan? Jim Ryan? Jim Ryan was a marquee name in track and field athletics back in the 1960s. Actually, ESPN, not long ago, rated Jim Ryan as the number one American high school athlete of all time, surpassing Tiger Woods, surpassing LeBron James, who went from high school to pros. Jim Ryan's world record in the mile stood for over 36 years. At one time in his career, he held 5 track and field world records. An incredible accomplishment. Going into the 1968 Olympics, he was heavily favored in a number of races, particularly the 1500-meter race. But there was a Kenyan by the name of Kip Kenyo. And he was Ryan's main competition. On the day of the 1500-meter race, though, his doctors, Kip Keno's doctors, had advised him not to run. Why? He had a gallbladder infection. But here's what he said. He said, "This is the race of my life. And if I am going to die, let me die right here in this race. Long story short, Kip Keno won that race by 20 meters, still the biggest margin of victory ever in the Olympic 1500 final. Here's a shot of the finish. Now, I want you to look at the close-up. He could have strolled across the finish line. An incredible margin of victory, but he's not looking around. He's not looking behind. He's not doing this. He's looking straight ahead. He's running his race. And I want you to notice the look on his face as he crosses. This is my race. This is my assignment. I think C.S. Lewis actually had the John 21 story in mind when he wrote The Horse and His Boy. When Aslan tells Shasta these words. Let's put these words up on the screen. Child, I am telling you your story, not hers. I tell no one any story but his own. And then later, child, I am telling you your story, not hers. No one has told any story but their own. But what about Bob? Why did I have this difficult assignment? All I can say to you, my friends, and I love you, God never asked you to do some hard thing or to walk through some difficult time just so he can stand back and laugh and watch you struggle. To the contrary, he has grander purposes than that, although they may be hidden from you, hidden from me at that time. It may be one of those question marks that grows our faith. And last of all, would you cherish the privilege of being well-pleasing to God in any situation? Brothers and sisters, is there any better thing? Is there any greater calling in life? What better task than to be in a situation where we are an honor to God? And as hard as it was for Peter to hear this, remember Jesus' words to him back in verse 19? He said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would, what? Glorify God. And there is nothing better in life than to be pleasing to Jesus. And so run your race. You follow him. You give him permission to use you. Give him permission to use others as he sees fit. My purpose in life is to do good and glorify God. Our purpose in life is to believe in Jesus and do our duty in the state in which God has called us. And there is no greater joy than to know that you are pleasing to God. All right, I want to close and ask you this question. I've said all this today to focus in on this, and that is, has Jesus Christ become the background music in your life? And if so, I would challenge you, don't let anything push Jesus from his rightful place in your life. Don't let anything push Jesus from his rightful place in your life and mine. He is the good shepherd. And every soul must choose a master. Choose Jesus. Follow him. You will never regret it. Okay. I want to ask you to take a moment, please, and look in your order of worship at your communication card. Most of you know the drill. We're going to ask you to fill out a communication card. And if you have a prayer request, to please write out your prayer request. And it may be that you'd like to speak with somebody in our church about baptism, about being a part of a small group, about our Celebrate Recovery ministry, which is a fantastic ministry at helping at helping one another overcome and deal with hurts and hang-ups and habits in life that may be oppressive. And so take a moment, fill out that card, and once you've finished filling it out, you can just pass it to the ends of the aisles, and they will be collected here in just a bit. And now what we're going to do, we're going to come into a time of prayer, where we come before our great God and our King, who loves us and who cares for us, and for whom nothing is impossible. And He invites us to pray. He invites us to bring our cares, our concerns, our burdens, our dreams, our joys, our opportunities before Him. And so we're going to come now into a time of prayer. You can pray right where you are, get with two or three others and pray, get in a small group and pray, pray by yourself. Our elder couples are going to be down front. You're invited to come down here and pray with them. So let's be standing, let's be singing, let's be praying, let's be worshiping, and let's be expecting God to continue to do great things in, among us, and through us.